Will you please turn to the letter to the Galatians? Letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. We'll begin with verse 6. Verse 6 through verse 17. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6. I wonder that he does quickly change from him that called you in Christ's grace to a different gospel, which is not another one. But there are some that trouble you and desire to pervert the glad tidings of the Christ. But if even we are an angel out of heaven announced as glad tidings to you anything besides what we have announced as glad tidings to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now also again I say, if anyone announce to you as glad tidings anything besides what ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now seek to satisfy man or God, or do I seek to please man? If I were yet pleasing man, I were not Christ's bondman. But I let you know, brethren, as to the glad tidings which were announced by me, that they are not according to man. For neither did I receive them from man, neither was I taught them. That was by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard what was my conversation formerly in Judaism, that I excessively persecuted the assembly of God, and ravaged it, and advanced in Judaism beyond many my contemporaries in my nation, being exceedingly jealous of the doctrines of my fathers. That when God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, that I may announce him as glad tidings among the nations, immediately I took not counsel with flesh and blood, nor went I up to Jerusalem, to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, and again returned to Damascus. Chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3. O senseless Galatians, who has bewitched you? To whom, as before your very eyes, Jesus Christ has been portrayed, crucified among you. This only I wish to learn of you. Have ye received the Spirit on the principle of works of law, or of the report of faith? Are ye so senseless, having begun in spirit, are ye going to be made perfect in flesh? And finally, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. From verse 11 to the end. See how long a letter I have written to you with my own hand. Or in some version you find, what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to have a fair appearance in the flesh, these compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted because of the cross of Christ. For neither do they that are circumcised themselves keep the law, but they wish you to be circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but new creation. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For the rest, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the brands of the Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we do look to thy Holy Spirit to illumine thy word, to bring thy word to our hearts, that we may not only understand, that we may enter into thy truth. We commit this time into thy hands, and may thy Son be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. We mentioned many times that the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that in every book of the Bible, 66 books, in every book of the Bible, we will see Jesus. If we do not see Jesus in any book of the Bible, then we miss the very reason why God gave us His Word. We shall see Jesus in His many aspects, under many different settings. Now this morning we would like to enter into the letter to the Galatians. We may say that the letter to the Galatians enables us to see Christ through errors, doctrinal error. What is the doctrinal error that you find in the letter to the Galatians? We know that from Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14, we know that the Holy Spirit set apart Barnabas and Paul to do the apostolic work. And as they started their apostolic work, they first visited some cities in Galatia. There you'll find Antioch of Pisidia. There you'll find Iconium. You'll find Lystra, Derbe, these cities. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in these places. Many came to the Lord. Churches were established. These churches in Galatia, we can say, are the first love of the Apostle Paul, because they were the first work of the Apostle. Again and again he visited them. You find almost in every journey that he made afterwards, he always passed through Galatia. But within 10 years' time, when Paul was in his third apostolic journey, towards the end of that journey, he had to write a letter to the believers in Galatia, combating that basic doctrinal error. Now, what is that doctrinal error? You know, when you compare 1 Corinthians with the letter to the Galatians, you find in 1 Corinthians, these Corinthian believers had many problems. But mostly, these were moral and practical problems. Now, even though they did have some doctrinal problem, but it was not to be compared with all the problems they had morally and in their practical lives. But with the Galatian believers, you find that they had only one problem, not many, like the Corinthians. And it was a problem of doctrine, of truth. And because of the error, of course, we find that it did affect their daily lives. To the Corinthian believers, they did not want to go on with the Lord. They thought that to be saved, that was enough for them. They desired to be babes all their lives, to be taken care of, taking no responsibility of their own. So they remained in babyhood, in carnality. They did not grow into sons and daughters of God. And how it grieved the heart of God. Now to the Galatian believers, it was almost the very opposite. After they believed in the Lord Jesus, they desired so much to grow into perfection that out of that desire to grow into perfection, they began to be enticed into an error that promised them instant spirituality. As a matter of fact, you find that Paul's reaction, or may we say God's reaction, was even stronger towards the Galatian believers than towards the Corinthian believers. Paul wrote a very strong letter to the churches in Galatia. We could sense the very agony of his heart when he wrote that letter. You know, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he shed many tears. But I thought probably when he wrote his letter to the Galatians, he really wept and cried over it. His heart was really broken. Why? Because there was a basic error in their midst. And that will destroy not only the work of Paul in their midst, but that will destroy the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the error that Paul had to combat in this letter to the Galatians? It is that another gospel. We know that the word another in Greek, there are two different Greek words. One is allos, another of the same kind. And the other is heteros, another of a different kind. This another gospel that Paul was talking about was not allos, but heteros. It is not a gospel that comes along with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, it is a gospel opposite to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was preached as a gospel, but actually it was not a gospel. It was a bad news, not a good news. The only gospel that is really good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the good news. And if anything is preached aside from the Lord Jesus, that is not glad news. That is bad news. Because that will bring us into destruction. Now, what is this another gospel that Paul had to combat with such spirit? It was a mixture of law and grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of grace. But here you'll find some Judaizers. That is those, probably, Jews, maybe, of the sect of Pharisees that were converted into Christianity. They accepted the Lord Jesus. And yet they still cling to their Judaism. So you find these Judaizers, they came to Galatia, to these churches in Galatia. Even after the Council of Jerusalem. Now, brothers and sisters, if you remember the story, you find that even in the very early days, some Judaizers came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and they began to tell the believers there, who were Gentiles mostly, and saying that you need to be circumcised, you need to keep the law of Moses, otherwise you were not saved, otherwise you could not be perfected. And because of this, there was great discussion and contention there. And finally, the church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas and some others to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders there in order to settle this very basic question. And the question is, must a Gentile who believe in the Lord Jesus be circumcised and keep the law? Or to put it in another way, must a Gentile be a Jew in order to be saved and to be perfected? And we know in Jerusalem there was big discussion. And thank God, finally, you find the Holy Spirit and the apostles and the elders there decided that to the Gentiles, they did not need to be circumcised to be Jews. They did not need to keep the laws of Moses because nobody could. All they need to do is abstain from blood, eating blood, abstain from idolatry, abstain from strangled animals, that is, because of the blood, and abstain from adultery. Now, actually, these were not the laws of Moses. These were universal laws. These were laws that went way back to the time of Noah. You remember after the flood, God made a covenant with Noah and his children and all the living beings. And this Noahic covenant is still valid today. So here you'll find with the decision, letters were written and passed on to these different churches in Asia. But strange to say, that even with such a decision, this problem was not solved. Even after the council in Jerusalem, here you find some Judaizers. They went into Asia, they went into Galatia, and they began to teach these believers in Christ Jesus, saying that you must be circumcised. You must keep the laws of Moses. You must keep certain ordinances of the Old Testament law. They mix up law with grace. They did not reject Christ outright. They accepted Jesus Christ. But they say that Jesus Christ is not enough. He is not sufficient. After you receive the Lord Jesus, you need to be circumcised. You need to keep the laws to be perfected. They Judaize Christianity. They try to put Christianity into a Judaistic religion. Instead of being a living relationship with Christ, and Christ is everything, they began to reduce Christianity into a system, a religion of laws, rules, regulations, rituals, and ceremonies. In doing that, it very subtly destroyed the very foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing we have to remember, and that is human nature. you find this another gospel really appeals to human instinct. Why? Because so far as human instinct is concerned, you know, we always like to do something. If everything is given to us, we feel that there is no glory to us. And our human nature always likes to do something so that we can get some glory out of it. Even in this matter of salvation. You know, why is it salvation is so free and so few receive the gift of God? It is because it is free. If God demands something, then probably more will try. But because salvation is free, God has done it all. You cannot do anything. God does not require you to do anything because He knows you cannot do anything. So He has done everything for you, and it is freely, universally given to you. And strange to say, because of this, it is too good. It is too free. And people do not want to take it. That's human nature. And even after people have believed in the Lord Jesus, that human instinct is still there. In other words, yes, we have tried everything, but nothing works. We know that we cannot save ourselves. Therefore, we have to humble ourselves and accept the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. But after we have done that, then we say, now, let's complete it. Let's do something about it. So you'll find this is human instinct. We want to do something. And you'll find these Judaizers come and say, well, you believe in the Lord Jesus, fine. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus, but if you want to be perfect, then you need to be circumcised. And you need to keep the laws of Moses. Then you will be complete. And dear brothers and sisters, these Galatian believers fell into that trap. Because their flesh loved it. Another thing. And that again is human instinct. You know, we like to see everything done quick. You know, it is our desire that our success should come instantaneously. Oh, if we can arrive immediately, how good that will be. So here you'll find these Judaizers came to the midst of these Galatian believers and said, you want to be mature? You want to be perfect? You want to be a success? You want to be spiritual? Very easy. All you need to do is to be circumcised. All you need to do is to just to keep a few rules and regulations. Then you are completed. Oh dear brothers and sisters, how these Galatians believers just jump at it. They say, well, that's good because that makes us instantaneously spiritual. Isn't that a human nature? We want everything to be instant. And even when you come to the spiritual things, you want to be instantaneously spiritual. And if anyone could offer you a gospel, which is really not a gospel, a counterfeit, that will promise you, you will be spiritual immediately, I am afraid many will go for it. Just like the Galatian believers. They were so impatient. They will not allow the Holy Spirit to work day after day in their lives, to bring Christ into them more and more, that they may really grow up into Christ. They thought that was too tedious, that was too slow, and they want something quick and immediate. So they got it. But of course we know. The result was they set aside the grace of God. They fell from the grace of God. The very foundation of the gospel was destroyed. Instead of glorifying Christ, they glorify self. Instead of receiving the grace of God, they try to be perfected by the works of law. Instead of faith in Jesus Christ, they trust in their flesh. And of course the result was evident. Because of this basic error, their very daily living was adversely affected. The works of the flesh were apparent while the fruit of the Spirit was missing. And this is another gospel, which is not a gospel that Apostle Paul battled. Four centuries ago, we had the Reformation. Martin Luther and those reformers, they were faced with a situation similar to what Paul faced with the situation in Galatia. Why? Because you find Martin Luther and the reformers, they found themselves faced with a Judaized Christianity. What was Christianity four centuries ago? Christianity was no longer Christ. Christ was buried. The Bible was changed. At that time, you'll find people sought salvation not by faith in Jesus Christ, but by good works. If you accumulate enough merits, you'll go to heaven. If you do not, you'll go to purgatory. Christianity was a system, a religion. Christianity was a bunch of rules and regulations, rituals and ceremonies. People try to save themselves, and yet they say they believe in the Lord Jesus. Christianity was Judaized. No longer Christ. It was men doing everything, even trying to save their own souls. We call it dark age. It was very dark. So dark that the truth of the gospel was unknown. Thank God he raised up Martin Luther and these reformers. And you know, Martin Luther said, "The letter to the Galatians is my letter. He is my Catherine." That is his wife. "I'm wedded to it." He used the letter to the Galatians as a sword to strike at Judaized Christianity in the 16th century. And by this sword he dismantled that system that Judaized Christianity in his time. He showed people that justification is by faith, not by works of the flesh. He gave the people at that time in Europe an open Bible, that we shall go back to the Word of God instead of listening to the traditions of the fathers. That was 4 centuries ago. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we are in the 20th century, at the end of it. And what are we faced for today? Faced with today? Are we in a better position than Paul? Are we in a better place than Martin Luther and the Reformers? Dear brothers and sisters, as we look at Christianity, what do you see Christianity is today? Has not Christianity again been Judaized? Is it not a mixture of law and grace? It is true that Christ is not rejected completely. Christ had not been thrown out. People are still mentioning the name of Christ. But Christ, as if he is not sufficient. You need a Lord to help him. You may come in by Christ, that you have to be completed by Moses. You may start with the Spirit, but you may have to be perfected by the flesh, the work of the flesh. Here you'll find a mixture of law and grace. After you believe in the Lord Jesus, what is expected of you? You are expected to keep certain rules and regulations. You're expecting to do certain things. And if you do them, that's all that is required. You are perfect. Christianity today has become a religion, not a living relationship. Christianity today has become a system of things instead of Christ as well. Today's people do not know what grace is, because we are under the bondage of law. People do not know what faith is, because we're all involved in works. People do not know the Holy Spirit, because it is all the efforts of our own selves. Dear brothers and sisters, Christianity today is Judaized. The very foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is at stake. Oh, how we need to go back to the letter to the Galatians. Because there we shall find what the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. You know, in combating against this error, another gospel, we find Paul, when he wrote this letter, it was not written in a negative way. You know, oftentimes when we try to combat an error, we tend to be very negative. That is to say, we tend to see all the errors. But where is the truth? So here you'll find Paul, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, used by the Holy Spirit to write this letter, you find he wrote it in a very positive way. It is not only by context, But it is only by, but it is also by presentation of what the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. And if you know the truth shall set you free. The letter to the Galatians can be very easily divided into three parts, or two chapters each. Of course, we know these chapters are arbitrary. But it so happens that you can divide the letter to the Galatians into three parts. The first two chapters deal with the authenticity, or origin of Paul's gospel. That is, where did Paul receive the gospel? How did he receive the gospel? The origin, the authenticity of the gospel that Paul preached. And then the third and fourth chapters speak of the nature of the gospel. The nature of Paul's gospel. What it is all about. And thirdly, chapters 5 and 6 tell us of the effect of Paul's gospel. When the gospel is preached, what will be the outcome? What will be the practical outworking of the gospel? Now we would like to spend a little time over these three parts. In the first chapter, verses 11 and 12. But I let you know, brethren, as to the glad tidings, which was announced by me, that they are not according to man. For neither did I receive them from man, neither was I taught them, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul says the gospel that he preached was not of man. Why? Because he did not receive from any man, nor was he taught by any man. The gospel that he preached came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he mentioned a little of his personal history. He said that he was brought up in Judaism. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was more advanced than his contemporary in Judaism. That he fully endorsed Judaism. And he was so occupied with the traditions of the fathers, that is, the teachings of the rabbis concerning the Word of God. He was so taken up by the traditions of the Father that he considered it his duty to persecute Christians, to persecute Christ and his followers. Because according to the teachings of the fathers in Judaism, they considered Jesus as an imposter. That need to be get rid of. So Paul, he said, he persecuted the church excessively, with zeal. He would have nothing to do with Christ. He followed Moses. But on the road to Damascus, Christ met him. He went there to persecute the Christians, even to the Gentile cities, to seize upon these believers, to bring them to Jerusalem to be sentenced. But the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord challenged him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You didn't even know me. Why did you persecute me? Do you know it is hard for you to kick against the goad? Do you know that you are in my hand? And you are supposed to do my will? But you are kicking against me. And when it pleased God to reveal his son to Paul and in him, it changed him completely. He received the glad tidings through revelation of Jesus Christ. No man taught him. It was the Lord himself who revealed to him. And after he had seen the Lord as the glad tidings, the gospel, the salvation, the hope, the faith, the love, what did he do? Did he run to Jerusalem to meet with these apostles that were before him, that he might be taught more about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not out of pride, but out of his desire that he might know the gospel firsthand and not secondhand, we find that he went to Arabia. Now, of course, Arabia at that time was a very vague term. It could mean many places. But if you read the letter to the Galatians, probably you get some hint as you go on, because it mentioned about Sinai. So most likely, Paul, Saul at that time, after the Lord had revealed himself, and after he was with the disciples for a few days, there you'll find he traveled to Arabia. That is to the desert, most likely to Mount Sinai. Why did he go there? You remember Mount Sinai was the place where the law was given. Mount Sinai was the place where the prophet Elijah, after he fled for his life, he went there in order to re-evaluate everything before God. That is where the law and the prophet were. And that was where Paul went. He went there to Arabian desert, maybe to Mount Sinai. And why did he do that? He went away from man in order that he might be with God himself. And there, I believe, he reread the Old Testament that he knew by heart. He reread the Old Testament in the new light of Christ. He knew the Old Testament, the Word of God, but he read them before with the light of the traditions of the fathers. And what a mistake he made. Now he had to reread the Word of God in the light of Christ. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, how he discovered Christ in every page of the Old Testament. He came back to Damascus and he preached that Jesus is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one promised in the Old Testament. Three years after his conversion, he went to Jerusalem. He wanted to have some fellowship. Not to be independent. He met Peter and James, and he went back to Tarsus and spent years
in Syria and Cilicia when Tarsus was. It wasn't until 14 years later that he went to Jerusalem. Of course, if you really want the details, that was not the second time. That was the third time. There was another time he went to Jerusalem with Barnabas to bring some contributions there. But there you'll find 14 years later, he went to Jerusalem with revelation. In other words, even though outwardly it was because of that controversy with the Judaizers in Antioch that the church sent Paul to Jerusalem, but he went there actually by revelation. God revealed to him that he should go there for the truth of the gospel. And he brought Titus with him. You know, Titus was a test case. Because Titus was a Gentile. He was not circumcised. So Titus went with Paul as a test case to see whether Titus should be circumcised. And if you read the second chapter of Galatians, you'll find that Paul was all mixed up with his grammar. You know, if you know the Greek, you will find that in the second chapter his grammar was absurd. It was just bad. Why? Because it shows that when he was in Jerusalem, dear brothers and sisters, maybe in the book of Acts chapter 15, you'll find a controversy there, but it was not that heated. But if you read Galatians chapter 2, and Paul got all tumbled over his grammar, why? Because he was so agitated. There, no doubt, they tried to put pressure on Paul to circumcise Titus. But he said, we will not yield, not for an hour. So that the truth of the gospel may remain in you. Dear brothers and sisters, there you'll find under that great conflict, thank God, Paul stood for the truth of the gospel. It is grace, not grace plus law. The battle was won. But the war went on. Because these Judaizers followed him all his life. And you find they went to these churches in Galatia. And they almost succeeded in Judaize these Christians. Make them Jews instead of Christians. After the council in Jerusalem, Peter visited Galatia. And there you'll find Peter ate with these Galatian believers who were Gentiles. You know, in the early days, the believers used to come together and have a common meal together. They call it agape, love. Love feast. They came together, everybody contribute and eat together as a kind of fellowship of love. And when Peter was there, he attended that agape and he ate with the Gentile believers. But then some people came from Jerusalem from days. These Judaizers came. And when these Judaizers came, Peter got frightened. What will James think of me? What will these who are zealous for the law think of me? And you know Peter. He separated himself from the Gentiles. He would not eat with these Gentile believers anymore, as if they were unclean. And even Barnabas did that. The test. The test of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the gospel going to be Judaized? Or is it to be pure? And here you find even Paul was junior. Because of the truth of the gospel, Paul withstood Peter publicly and said, we all know that even we as Jews, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus in order to be saved like the Gentiles. And how could we force the Gentiles to be Jews? We cannot keep the law. And how can we put that burden upon these Gentiles? If we are doing that, we have fallen from grace. Thank God, the gospel of Jesus Christ passed the test. Because in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised. Brothers and sisters, the gospel that Paul preached is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He received it by revelation. And this revelation has been tested and proved to be true. And this is the gospel that we believe. Then secondly, you find in chapters 3 and 4, the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, senseless Galatians, who has bewitched you? To whom has before your very eyes Jesus Christ has been portrayed, crucified among you? Now, what is the nature of the gospel that Paul preached? The gospel that Paul preached is Christ crucified. You know, in 1 Corinthians he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that is the gospel. And Christ crucified has been portrayed. That is, has been set forth in their midst as a poster. You know, it has been presented to them as a poster, as something that stood before them. Christ crucified. That is the gospel. Christ has done everything for us. There is nothing left that is undone. All you need to do is to believe in Him. It is grace. All of grace. It is God's promise. Salvation is God's promise. God promised Abraham and his seed the inheritance, the blessing. If it is a promise, then it is not to be received by works. If it is a promise, then it cannot be annulled by law. The law that comes in 430 years later. The promise that God has promised Abraham is not abrogated unknown by the law of Moses. They came in 430 years later. The promise is to be received. It's given in grace and to be received by faith. Then why is the law given? The law is given for the knowledge of transgressions. The law is like a guardian that leads us to Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, here Paul is trying to tell these Galatians believers that Christ crucified is the gospel. Christ crucified is sufficient for them. It is God's promise. It is in grace. It is to be received by faith. And when you do that, you receive the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is given to you in order that you may be perfected. Arrive at sonship. God has done it all. Why is it you want to go back to the works of law? If you want to do that, remember, if you violate one law, you'll violate the whole law. You are under the curse of law. And God's word is said, cast the maidservant and her child out. They have no part in God's inheritance. It is only to those who are born of promise that can receive the inheritance that God has promised. Dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find this is the gospel. Christ crucified. May we always keep that before us. We see Christ crucified on the cross. Why? He was crucified not only to bear in his own body our sins, that our sins may be forgiven, but he was crucified that our old man, I, was crucified with him. No longer live I. It is Christ who lives in me. And I live in the flesh by faith. Not my faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the gospel. And then finally, the third part, the effect of Paul's gospel. What happened? After you believe in the Lord Jesus, after you receive it by faith, after you know what grace of God is, what happens to you? And then you find in chapter 5, verse 1, Christ has set us free in freedom. Stand fast, therefore, and be not held again in a yoke of bondage. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are set free by him. If you know the truth shall set you free. If the Son of Man, if the Son of God shall set you free, you are free indeed. Dear brothers and sisters, thank God we are free in Christ Jesus. Stand fast in that freedom. Do not go back and put yourself under the bondage of law. And you know, it is such a temptation for us to go back to put ourselves under the yoke of law. Even in our own lives as a Christian, dear brothers and sisters, after you believe in the Lord Jesus, do you always keep him before you?
Do you always see Christ crucified as the truth? Is it not that after you believe in the Lord Jesus and you get saved, afterwards you begin to turn to yourself? You begin to say, now I am saved. I have to do something to complete myself. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to please God. I have to exert my own strength in order to keep the law of God. Are you just turning back to yourself, thinking that now you will complete yourself? Is it not true? Or do you see that even though you are saved, remember, now for you to live, it's not you, it's Christ who lives in you. Instead of you trying to live the Christian life, you try to please God. You acknowledge that there is no good in your flesh. You are dead in Christ. You are alive to God through His life. And you learn to live by the life of Christ in you. Dear brothers and sisters, are you again in bondage, yoked to rules and regulations, or are you life free in Christ Jesus? Stand fast in your freedom. But freedom in Christ does not mean that you are now free to do anything you like. Freedom in Christ means that now you're free not to do what the flesh wants to do. You are free to do the will of God by His life. And that is the reason why Paul says, the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit, that you may not do what you want to do. You know, this verse in chapter 5, verse 17 is a tremendous verse. It is very different from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 tells us that you cannot do what you want to do, and you do what you do not want to do. That's bondage. But here in 17, verse 17, it says, and these things are passed to each other, that ye should not do those things by which ye desire. In other words, here you'll find that because the Holy Spirit is in you, and you live by the Holy Spirit, so you will not do what your flesh wants to do. You are able not to do what you don't want to do. And you are able to do what you want to do, because now you walk by the Spirit of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, freedom in Christ does not mean that now we are free to live as we wish. It means that now we are free to live as God wants. Freedom in Christ means that not that we are free to live in our flesh, but rather we are free to live in the Spirit. And when you live in the Spirit, you are indeed free. Why? Because the works of the flesh will be crucified, and the fruit of the Spirit will be produced. That is the effect of the gospel of Jesus. Some people think because it is grace, all are grace, therefore, after you believe in Lord Jesus, then it's free for all. No. If you really know what grace is, grace will produce in you the same character as Christ. If you really know grace, it is Christ who lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, you have to walk in the Spirit. and not according to the flesh. That's grace. So here Paul concludes, saying that, see how long a letter I wrote to you. You know, Paul, usually when he wrote letters, he dictated, and somebody else wrote it. Probably because of his eyes. You know, he didn't have very good eyes. So some people say, how long a letter I have written to you with my own hands? So it is with what large letters I have written. In other words, he usually dictated, but this letter probably he wrote himself. And if he wrote himself, then it was a long letter to him. And if he wrote himself, then his letters must be very big because his eyesight was not too good. Now, why did he write the letter himself? It shows that how his heart was so agonized over the situation there. Oh, he could see. If this thing should continue, Christianity will be completely Judaized, and the gospel of Jesus Christ will be unknown. People will all fall from grace. He was so agonized over this possibility that he could not dictate. He had to write himself. And because his letters were big, maybe ugly, penmanship could not be very well with such bad eyes. Therefore he said, now don't look for outward appearance. If you want beautiful penmanship, I don't have it. But I have the reality. I have Christ. How do you have Christ? You won't be able to have Christ if you do not accept the cross. It is the cross that gave us Christ. Those Judaizers, they want to escape the persecution of the cross. Therefore, they want you to be circumcised. Do something on your physical body, and you're all right. You don't need to allow the cross to work deep in your life to the setting aside of your flesh and the lust and passion, so that Christ may live in you. Paul said, I go for reality. I boast in the cross because that delivered me from the world, even from the religious world that Judaized Christianity. He gave me Christ. Now indeed, in doing that, he bore in his body the marks of Jesus Christ. In other words, in his body you find the wounds. You find the sufferings. You find these marks. That through these marks he proved to the world that the gospel he preached is powerful. It worked in his life. Dear brothers and sisters, the gospel you receive will make you the kind of person you are to be. If you receive another gospel, that will make you another kind. Another of a different kind, not of the same kind. That you have received the gospel of Jesus Christ as Paul has preached, then it will make you the kind of Christians that God wants you to be. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ may be kept and may be a reality in our midst. Deliver us from being tempted and fall into the trap of another gospel, of another kind. Oh, that we may not set aside thy grace and fall from the grace of God, which is Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt always put Christ crucified before us, that we may walk in the way of the cross and find Christ our all in all. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.